always take the high ground. Always take the high ground. Always do the right thing, whether they do it or not. If they insult you, you treat them with kindness. If they're unloving to you, you be loving to them. If they are resentful to you, you be forgiving to them. If they're mean to you, you be nice to them. You always take the high ground, no matter what the crazy makers do.
Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a series called You Make Me Crazy. These teachings take a biblical look at topics like peace in our relationships, finding true love, breaking free from abuse, resolving conflict, ending the cycle of people-pleasing, and dealing with the crazy makers in our lives. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can get a copy of this life-changing audio series in its entirety. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com while you listen. If you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Keeping the Crazy Makers from Making You Crazy.
Titus 3:10. This one's actually advice to pastors. And it says that if there's a troublemaker in a church, you give them two warnings, then the pastor is to put them out of the church. We graciously invite you to go visit some other church. You just dismiss them. Say, look, you had two warnings, but you're causing chaos. You're causing conflict. And the Bible says, pastor, you're supposed to take them out. Now, you refuse to play their game. Number five, the fifth step in dealing with troublemaker is you refuse to cave in. You refuse to cave in, to give in to their demands, to what they want. The crazy maker who is demanding or demeaning or derogatory or deafening or destructive or, you know, discontented or disapproving, whatever we're talking about here, the crazy maker in your life, you refuse to cave in. You do not allow them to manipulate your life. Love is not allowing people to manipulate you. That's unloving to you, it's unloving to God, it's unloving to them. Love is not giving in to manipulation. That is not the loving thing to do. Now, many believers just don't get this, what I'm about to talk about. So I'm gonna camp on this for just a minute. Because a lot of Christians think that the Christian way to respond to irritating or crazy-making people in a life is just let them have their way. In other words, just passively acquiesce. I submit. I let you have your way. I give in to the crazy makers. I let them run all over me. I lay down and I become a doormat. There's not one verse in this book, the Holy Bible, that says God wants you to be a doormat. Not one verse. Now you say, but wait a minute, aren't we supposed to forgive? Didn't we just talk about love and forgiveness? Yes, we did. But forgiveness and trust are two different things. Let's review it again. We've covered this before. Forgiveness is instant and it is by grace. Trust is by works and it takes time. The illustration I gave you before was if a woman's husband is beating her, he's alcoholic and in a drunken rage, he beats his wife. And she kicks him out of the house. And he comes back that night and he says, will you forgive me? She has to forgive him. Yes, I do forgive you. First, God commands it. Second, she's been forgiven. Third, she's going to need more forgiveness in the future. And fourth, she doesn't want to have that resentment stuck in her life, which hurts her more than it hurts him. She has to forgive him. But he says, will you let me back in the house? Oh, no, that's a different matter. Forgiveness is instant. Trust is earned. Does that make sense? And that's why people don't understand when a leader has a moral failure. Some people say, well, we should forgive him, just let him go on. No, no. Forgiveness, instant, yes. But you don't restore them to leadership instantly. They need to go through a restoration process. Forgiveness is instant. Trust is built over time. And forgiveness does not mean when you hurt me, I forgive you, but I'm going to keep on letting you hurt me. Those are two different issues. Now, the Bible teaches us not to cave in to crazy makers. Let me give you some examples. Let's say you're asked to violate your conscience at work, and you know it's wrong, and you feel pressured and manipulated to do it. What are you going to do? Let me give you another example. What if you're asked to work a schedule where you never get to go to worship anymore? What are you going to do? What if you're standing by the water cooler or you're with some friends on the side of a little league game and you hear a disparaging remark about a Christian? You're going to keep your mouth shut? What are you going to do? You're going to cave on that? You're going to wimp out on that? What does the Bible want you to do? Look at the next verse, Romans 14, 16. Do not allow, notice, do not allow, do not allow what you consider good to be spoken evil of. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, speak up, don't cave in. You see, many Christians are afraid to speak up, and they are letting all kinds of people get away with murder in their life. And that's not what God wants you to do. People say, wait a minute, aren't Christians supposed to be meek? Yes, we are. But meek is not weak. Those are two very different things. Meek is incredibly strong. Weak is incredibly weak. We are to be meek people, not weak people. What is meek? The word meek is a Greek term that actually means, it was a term used for training a wild stallion. Once that wild stallion is trained, it is broken, it is brought under control so that it can be ridden by the master, that stallion that was wild is called meek. It is now a meek stallion. Now, has that wild stallion lost any of its strength? Absolutely not. That horse is still just as strong as it was when it was wild and unbroken. Meek does not mean weak. It means brought under control, bottled up for the master's use. That's what it means to be meek. I'm not a weak person. I'm a strong person. But it is under control of the master. I don't just go off and, you know, fly off on a tangent because I'd like to. Meek means strength under control for the master's use. And that's what God wants you to be.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional. Take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Again, that's the word DAILY to 99000.
Thanks for being with us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you're enjoying this series and today's message, but can't really dive into it because you've got a long day in the office ahead of you, kids to pick up, or meals to cook, then let us send you a copy of this entire series, which includes 6 full-length teachings from Pastor Rick. That way, you can listen from start to finish or just a little at a time, whenever it's best for you. You can even go back and listen over and over to your favorite messages. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll give you the choice of either a 6 audio CD box set or 6 downloadable high-quality MP3s. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com to get your copy of this series. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much for your support. Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
We are to be meek people, not weak people. What is meek? The word meek is a Greek term that actually means, it was a term used for training a wild stallion. Once that wild stallion is trained, it is broken, it is brought under control so that it can be ridden by the master, that stallion that was wild is called meek. It is now a meek stallion. Now, has that wild stallion lost any of its strength? Absolutely not. That horse is still just as strong as it was when it was wild and unbroken. Meek does not mean weak. It means brought under control, bottled up for the master's use. And that's what it means to be meek. I'm not a weak person. I'm a strong person. But it is under control of the master. I don't just go off and, you know, fly off on a tangent because I'd like to. Meek means strength under control for the master's use. And that's what God wants you to be. You know, Paul actually chided the Corinthians. He started a church in a place called Corinth, Greece. And he wrote two letters to them, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And he chides the Corinthians for being wimps with the bullies. He says, you just keep on giving in to all the bullies in your life. What's wrong with you guys? You keep letting people intimidate you. You just cave in all the time. Look at this verse up here on the screen. 2 Corinthians 11:20 says this. You let people make slaves of you and cheat you and steal from you. Why, you even let them strut around and slap you in the face. That's the contemporary English version. Let me read the same verse in the NIV, New International. Paul says, you guys in Corinth, you even put up, he says, you just put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you. He says, you just put up with it. What are you thinking? Or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. What is Paul saying? God does not expect you to be a doormat. That is not a Christ-like thing. Meekness is strength under control. Do you know Paul wrote an entire book about this? Paul wrote an entire book of the Bible about not being pressured, manipulated, and controlled by the expectations and the opinions of other people. It's called the Book of Galatians. Paul wrote the Book of Galatians for this very problem. Paul started a church in an area of Greece called Galatia. And after he left, some of these crazy-making, religious crazy-makers, these Judaizers, these Pharisees came in and said, oh yeah, you know everything Paul taught? That's right on about grace, but you need to add these things. You got to keep this rule and keep this law and keep this rule, and you got to do this tradition, you got to do this. And they loaded people down with so many do's and don'ts, they were suffering and suffocating from the load of legalism. And Paul writes them a letter and goes, wait, what are you guys talking about? Where'd your freedom go? Jesus Christ set you free from all that junk. You're set free from the law. He said, Jesus set you free from the fear of death, and Jesus set you free from the pain of bitterness, and Jesus set you free from the guilt of your sin, but he also set you free from the expectations of others. You're not living for anybody else's plan for your life. What happened to you? Have you so quickly gone back into legalism? Here's what he says. Look at the next verse, Galatians 5:1. We have freedom now because Christ made us free. So, stand strong. Do not change and go back into the slavery of the law. You've been set free. Now listen, friends, as your pastor who loves you, I just want you to know that even today, there are these Judaizers, there's these religious Pharisees, religious people who want to box you in into all kinds of rules and regulations and restrictions that are unbiblical. And they're on the radio, and they're on the internet, and they're in books. And I'm telling you, don't let anybody steal your freedom. The freedom of grace that you have been given in Christ. This not only happens with you, it happened with Jesus. Happened all the time. People were all the time trying to restrict Jesus. And they said, oh, what Jesus does offends us because, you know, he doesn't follow all those little bitty rules on the Sabbath that we made up. And they got so upset about that. In Matthew 15, verse 12, the 14, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, Lord, do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? Now imagine this. Here's the disciples coming to the Son of God. Lord, you want to reconsider this one? I mean, what you just said, that was a little radical. It was a little over the top. It was a little edgy. Jesus, you might want to tone it down. You're talking to religious people here. Do you realize, Lord, that you offended some religious people? You know what Jesus' response to that was? Look at the rest of the verse. Jesus said, well, you guys, you know, every plant not planted by my Father will be rooted up, so ignore them. Ignore them. Circle that, star that, underline it. Ignore them. Jesus is saying, ignore the legalists who try to bring you under religious bondage. Don't allow them to do it. I'm not going to play your game, and I'm going to refuse to cave in. He says, ignore them. Now remember, I said this 2 weeks ago, even God can't please everybody. And only a fool would try to do what even God can't do. I can't please everybody, you can't please everybody, nobody can. Finally, there's one more step you need to know. And this is the most difficult of all. When it comes to crazy makers, always take the high ground. Always take the high ground. Always do the right thing, whether they do it or not. If they insult you, you treat them with kindness. If they're unloving to you, you be loving to them. If they are resentful to you, you be forgiving to them. If they're mean to you, you be nice to them. You always take the high ground, no matter what the crazy makers do. Always, always, always take the high ground. Now, you cannot control what other people think about you. You cannot control what other people say about you. You cannot control what other people do about you. You have no control over those issues. But you do have 100% control over how you respond. And that's your choice. And you can be better and respond with grace and love and kindness. And that pleases God. You know, there's a well-known pastor who probably for at least 20, 25 years has been a constant vocal critic of Saddleback Church and me. I have never once said a mean, evil, or even slightly critical thing about him. I won't even mention it. I won't even tell you what his name is. I have refused for 25 years to ever criticize him back. I just won't do it. And the other day on the internet, somebody asked me on a public forum, said, this guy says this, 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 and this, and this, and this. This is what he thinks of you. What do you respond? And I said this, what he thinks of me in no way controls what I think of him, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. Now, that's my choice. That's my choice. He can't control that. He can control what he says, but he can't control my attitude, and I refuse to let him make me an enemy. I'm just not going to let him do it. And so this is what God says to do. Take the high ground. Now, the classic chapter on taking the high ground with crazy makers is Romans chapter 12. And so I want to close with three different verses from Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 14, he starts with this. Ask God to bless those who persecute you. Yes, ask him to bless and not curse. Now, you may be saying, Rick, I don't have anybody persecuting me. Okay, let's cross out the word persecute and write in the word makes you crazy. Okay? Ask God to bless those who make you crazy. Yes, ask God to bless them, not curse them. The people who irritate you, the people who make you crazy. Friends, this right here, that verse right there, is the definition of real love. Shoot. Real love isn't loving somebody who's lovable. It's easy to love lovely people like you. See, I can love people like me because I'm cool. You can love people like you because you're cool. Real love loves the unlovable. Real love is loving the unlovely. Real love is loving the person who at that moment is spitting in your face. You're not backing down. You're not playing their game. But you're also not letting them fight fire with fire. And you are loving. You are responding with love. That is real love. Now, in the next verses, Romans 12, 17, and 18, it says this. If someone has done you wrong, do not repay him with a wrong. Try to do whatever everyone considers to be good. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. And then the piece de resistance is verse 21 of Romans 12, where he says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, what happens if I actually follow what the Bible says to do with crazy makers? Because this is not the way you're taught in school. What you're taught in our society today is somebody punches you, you punch them back, and you hit them harder. And don't get mad, get even. What if somebody in my life who is demeaning, destructive, discontented, you know, demanding, disapproving, all this person in my life, and I refuse to be offended, and I don't wait for an apology, I just go ahead and automatically forgive them the moment they hurt me, and then I make a commitment, I'm not even not only just going to forgive them, I'm not going to gossip about them, I'm not going to talk about them to other people, but I'm going to refuse to play their game, and I'm going to refuse to cave in, but I'm always going to take the high ground and return love for no matter what they throw at me. What happens when you do that? You get the smile of God on your life. Proverbs 16:7, the last verse. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to live at peace with him. Wow. As your pastor who loves you, I want that verse to be true in your life.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement. Okay, confession time. You probably have a relationship that could drive you crazy if you let it. Whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, sibling, parent, coworker, or that crazy relative you see once a year at Thanksgiving, a crazy maker can really make life difficult. That's why Pastor Rick Warren asked us to put together the Crazy Makers Complete Audio Series. The collection includes 6 complete commercial-free messages that are sure to be a blessing to you and your loved ones. If you'd like to have this entire series on CD or downloadable MP3s for your personal library, just contact us today. We'll send it to you right away as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or you can give online at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
You ever find yourself asking the question, why is this happening to me? Why does this have to be so difficult? You know, the thing is, God never intended for life on earth to be perfect. This is not heaven, this is earth. And God put us here to teach us a lot of things, even in the middle of our pain and problems and difficulties. And one of the things he wants to teach us the most is how to love him and how to love other people. That prepares you for heaven. You see, God loves you and God is for you. So when things get difficult, keep your focus on the love of God. Just say to yourself, God loves me. And say it over and over until you start to let it sink in. Thanks, everybody, for listening today, and join me again next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.